Thank you. And I think that microphone's on too, isn't it?
Good morning, everyone.
Is that working?
Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some.
Powerful. I have just something to break the ice, a little story. There were two grandchildren, and they decided to pass the night to a grandma. So they were ready to go to bed, and grandma said, okay, say your prayers, I'm going to be in my room. So the oldest was very quiet, asking the Lord and thank God for the things that they had and the things that they need and so on. The youngest started to scream out of his lungs the request that he had, Lord, I need a new telephone. I need a new game. I need this. I need that. So once the requests were made, the older brother said to the younger, why are you screaming so much? The Lord is not deaf. He said, yeah, I know. My grandma is. Okay. We're going to go in the Word of God now. And I have receive from the Lord that I'm going to pass it to you, something that we found in Gospel of John. Gospel of John, we go to the 20th chapter by reading the first verse there. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been rolled or taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, of course is John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now you know it's a plurality there. We do not know, so she was together with somebody else at this point. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb to verify what Mary was saying. Okay, let's jump to verse 11 now. When everything was reviewed and the body of Christ was not in the tomb, Peter and John went back with the rest of them. But we see something different. At this point, Mary is all by herself. Other women were not there with her. She was alone. But Mary stood aside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and one on the other at the feet, where Jesus' body had been laid. Then they say to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposed him to be the gardener, and she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not touch or clinch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciple that she has seen the Lord and that he has spoken those things to her. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the word. We ask that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will rest upon your word, O Lord our God. And be directed to every one of our hearts, to our conscience, into our mind, O Lord, so we may receive and store it, so we may receive the word of God and make profit of it. Lord, be with us all, we ask in the name of Jesus, as we break the word of life. Amen. Okay, so here we are in the first century, the beginning. A lot of things is taking place. Was a full week time. Not only the 3 years of Christ's ministry, but we saw that in the last few days of his life, things are exceedingly proceeding with fastness. Here we are a few days before he entered into Jerusalem. He went there before, but this time was special. The crowd almost crowned Christ King of the Jews. But then a few days after, they are crying, "Crucify him." Something terrible is taking place, not only in the situation that surrounds Jerusalem, but we see that it looks like that century or collapsing of colliding just in this time in Jerusalem. The prophecy that we receive in the Old Testament were coming to accomplishment. The cry of Isaiah, the dying or the suffering of the Messiah were so vivid and so tangible, but the disciples didn't see it. They were so caught up with themselves, with the things that they want from Christ. And then when Christ was arrested, fear took hold of them. They went and locked themselves in houses, or maybe it was the upper room where they had the Lord's Supper, or they had the Last Supper with Christ. They were not inside. And we see that something special happened in those times. Not only we see what Christ was suffering, not only we see that Christ died, not only we see that Christ was buried, we see that somebody there was not awake and afraid to take care of things. In the midst of such darkness and fear, we find one thing that was alive within the early church, and they were the women. They took the front stage of the situation. They were the one that when the body of Christ was laid in the tomb, after 6 o'clock in the evening, they went out and bought the things that they need to place on the body of Christ, and they rest the Sabbath. The disciple was fearful. Mary Magdalene and the other woman, they were not. There was a cry in their hearts because Christ was dead, but there was no fear. They were able to face the situation of the day. And let me tell you what, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, today the church will not make it without the faithfulness of the woman in our midst. If they arise within their hearts, we will see changes and miracle, and we see progress, and we see conversion within the church, because the woman play an important role, a part in the life of Christ and in the early church. They took the front stage at the time. They went early in the morning. I suppose nobody was sleeping. The disciple was crying and trembling, but those women were taking action of the situation. We will go and take care of the body of Christ for the last time. They got up early in the morning. They went there. They didn't find the body. We know the story. And finally, she went and told Peter. Peter and John took the courage to go there and verify that the body was not there. So what they do? They went back to their houses. No action. They went back to the houses. The woman, they stayed there. They searched for. After they left, finally Mary was found alone in the garden, and that's where she met Christ. What do we see through this encounter? Something powerful happened. Because Mary was the first to report, "Christ is risen. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." Now, do the disciples believe the statement? Absolutely not. They thought those women are going banana. They are crazy. They don't know what they are saying. They are insane. They don't know that. Now, we learn that more details when we follow the two disciples to the Emmaus Way. They were going to a little village. And Christ joined them, and in the conversation, they start to say, you don't know what happened in Jerusalem. So evidently it was not something quietly that happened only for a few minutes or a few hours. Everybody knew the events that took place in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, well, I don't know, tell me about. And he said, you are a stranger, you don't know the things that happened. Christ of Nazareth, we thought he was the prophet from God. We thought he was the one sent by God. Instead, he died, was crucified. And as they were talking to Christ, they were saying, although some of the women told us that he's risen. But, those are visions that many women see those things, but we don't quite believe them. We didn't go and search for those things. We didn't go and verify what happened because we didn't quite believe them. And that's what really happened there. But the woman was steadfast in the search for the body of Christ. And Mary was the first to see the resurrected Christ because she was perseverant. She did not give up. She was there to cry, I will find his body. I don't care where they place the body of Christ, I will find it. And finally, she saw Christ the Lord. And she went back and said, he's risen. Christ is risen. Of course, she didn't get too many followers. Her message was not well received. But there was a resurrection power in relation to her message. Because remember, up to the point, the Old Testament is fading away. A new is beginning. And Mary was the one that first high witness that Christ is resurrected, and there was resurrection power in her words. He said, he is risen. That's what he told me, that he will ascend to the right hand of God the Almighty. So the ministry of Christ was in action through the word of this woman. I believe the word of Christ. I saw him. I'm sure that I saw him. Now, we know that the ramification of this is so important, because if Christ was not risen from the dead, you and I will have a party today. We will have a situation here that instead of being a church will be a club, a Christian club, because there is no power. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no new birth. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no life in us. We are dead. We join any club or any sides or any denomination, and we are happy because Christ died for us. You go to many churches, especially in Europe, you got the sense that you live in at the time that Mary is described. The church is silent, the church is quiet, the church is afraid. There is no power, there is no life, there is no vitality because Christ is dead. He is dead. We need to accept the reality that he died. And there is no power of resurrection. You find in big cathedral two or three people gathering together to say a few prayers, but the cathedral empty. I know over a month ago, a big deal came out when a cathedral in Paris, half of the cathedral burned down. Everybody wake up to the reality that this cathedral burned down. Remember, the cathedral was not used for religious service anymore because there were no more believers going there. So it was just a monument to the great day of the past. So here we see that whatever we encounter when Jesus died between the dead and resurrection, the church is in the same state today. See, the question that we need to ask is why? Why we have come to a point that we have no Christ in us, no Christ in our activity, no Christ in our life, no Christ in the expression of our Christian life. The question that remains is, have we seen him? Have we seen Christ like Mary did? Well, you say, Brother Guido, it's impossible to see him because he's in heaven. No, he's not. He said, the Father and I will come and dwell in your heart. Wow. He promised that? Are you sure? Let me tell you a story about how Christ come and dwell in our heart. Sometimes it's not good, and I can understand it's not good to bring personal testimony because it's good to bring the testimony of other people. But what happened to me when I was 18, I want to say that to you because I want to honor God this morning. I was 18 years old. I was invited to participate in prayer meeting in this little church in the mountains of Tuscany there. And I, over there, they had no churches, so you take a chair, you make an altar, you pray, you kneel down. You kneel a lot those days over there. Now we stand and we kneel less because our knees, we have problems, you know. So here we are. I took a chair, kneeled down. Everybody else, I was looking. I was coming from the Catholic Church. I was coming from the day that Christ was buried. There was no life. There was no resurrection power. So here I was in the midst of Mary announces that I saw the Lord in those meetings. And here I am looking around, and people were praying. They were crying to the Lord. And I said, Lord, what is it? Why they sense you so much and I don't? They think you are alive and you are in their midst, and I have no idea what they are saying or what they are praying for. But I was touched by the commitment to their prayer. I was touched by seeing their faces. They were light up in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. At that time, as I said, Lord, I know they do have something that I don't have. As God is my witness, the power of God came upon me, and down I went on the floor. The pastor of this small community, he didn't know what to do. And he came to me and said, are you okay? I was just like in a trance. I sense a peace of God fell over me. And I said to myself, I wish you shut up because I'm okay. I want to hear what God is saying to me at this point. So anyway, he helped me. I went back to my altar, the chair, and I continue. A few days after, because God touched me, I was in my room alone and I said, Lord, I know that you did something. I know that you are present in our world today. I know that you listen to the cry of your children. If you are real, I would like to know you. I like to experience you. I like to see you. So that's the question that I would like to answer to you. Have we seen him? The night I saw him, I decided to get out of my bed and kneel down. And I said, Lord, if you are real, as those people are saying, I want to see you. As I say that, just like a blanket came over and covered me, and the joy of the Lord was there. Salvation, blessing, joy. I was touched by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people, that's what we need today. We need the touch of God in our life. In order to become alive and bring the testimony of Christ to our generation, we need to know him first. We need to see him. We need to acknowledge within ourselves that he has touched us. Because if he touch us, we will touch others. If we are not touched by anyone, we will not touch anyone. Peter and John, the day, they were not able to touch anyone because they were in the room, unbelieving spirit was calling them, and fear. If we have fear and we don't have a believing spirit, we will bring no resolution to anything. We will not bring any blessing. But Mary brought the message to Christ, O Christ. He is risen. He is risen. my dear ones, he is risen, real, he is risen. He is living within our hearts. Just make room. Make room. Make sure that you know that he's risen. And how you know them? A simple prayer. Simple prayer says, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. I want to see the hand of Christ upon my head. I want to see the hand of Christ touch me. I want to see my sins be washed away, put away forever and ever and ever. I want to live a different life, a pure life, a life consecrated to Christ. It will not happen until we see him. Once we see him and we touch Christ, all things will become possible. The things that were so hard to achieve, a surrender that was so hard to accomplish, will become so simple to do because Christ will reign within us. The Father and I will come and dwell. Let's request that the Lord will come and dwell in our hearts this day. Let's bow our head and say, Lord, we are willing to receive you. Father God, we thank you for the mission of Mary Magdalene, O Lord. We learn so much to her powerful testimony. She was determined to find you. And when she found you, Lord, she realized that you were alive. And she brought the news of the power of resurrection of Christ to the disciple. Lord, our God, we ask that you visit us this day through the power of the resurrection, the same power that you display in the first century. Let that display even now in our midst, O Lord. Touch us. Make us alive, O Lord, to have a message of hope for our generation, to touch people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to let them know that all is well in the blood of Christ, that he has risen and now is sitting on the right hand of God the Almighty, interceding for us. We ask, O Lord, that you bless this small community, and we ask that you increase not only in favor, not only in commitment, but you can increase this community in numbers. Bless those who belong to this community, O Lord. Reach out to them this day. Make them alive, O Lord, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let it be a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Thank you, folks.